why James Bond is sci-fi. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Daniel Butcher.
I'm Kobe Radcliffe.
And we are back. Actually, literally just got back from seeing Skyfall.
Yes, we did.
We're going to do spoilers, but at the end of the episode. That way we can talk about James Bond and then really review Skyfall separate.
Okay, so I have to control myself.
So hold back. So let's just first, this question came up when Daniel and I were talking about the movie we're seeing today. Is James Bond a sci-fi movie? Kobe, you and I haven't talked about this at all. What are just your initial reaction when I say that? Go.
No, because a lot of what they do is based on actuality. So I do not think it is a sci-fi genre.
Okay, Daniel, what was your first reaction when we first started talking about that?
I'm mixed. I'm divided because I feel like he's really kind of grounded in the real world. But let's be honest, as far as this franchise goes, I mean, they've gone to the moon. They've had, especially in their technology, things that can only be called sci-fi. I mean, for heaven's sakes, we had a stealth car. I mean...
So, okay, well, this is what, when I was preparing for this episode, I thought, okay, well, let's just break it down. We've never, as far as I can remember, ever read the definition of science fiction on this show. So here we go. From dictionary.com, it's a noun, a form of fiction that draws imaginatively on scientific knowledge and speculation in its plot, setting, theme. It's also a literary genre that makes imaginative use of scientific knowledge or conjecture. And finally, works of fiction that use scientific discoveries or advanced technology, either actual or imaginary, as part of their plot. With that being said, I mean, we'll have to talk about his gadgets that he uses. I don't see how...
Well, I think we're done. I think you've convinced me, Matt.
I don't see how James Bond isn't a little bit science fiction.
A little bit. I'd say it's a lot of bit.
Like works of fiction, yes, that use scientific discoveries or advanced technology, yes, either actual or imaginary, yes, as part of their plot. Well, okay, let's stop there.
Well, it's not part of the plot.
Is it part of the plot, or is it just something that just kind of...
I mean, it has been part of the plot in some movies. I mean, like Moonraker. I mean, space flight was a big part of that movie.
That's not science fiction.
Hey, let's talk about Moonraker.
Science factual.
You can't just make your own rocket and fly to the moon in the...
Kobe's never seen Moonraker, have you, Kobe?
Don't want to.
It's a James Bond movie. It is about... So there's this bad guy named Hugo Drax. He has this huge world domination plot. So basically, the whole idea is that he wants to reboot the human race. So he selects a group of genetically perfect people and then hides them in the space station. And then his plan is that he'll destroy the rest of the Earth's population with this poison gas and then bring back these perfect people to start over.
So Kobe is not there in the space station.
No, Kobe wouldn't be there.
Okay, I just want to verify.
So basically,
how is that not science fiction, Kobe?
Yeah, it's got space stations, genocide, world recolonization.
How's genocide science fiction?
You're right. That's
global genocide.
Global genocide.
That's
global
definition. At some point, but
yeah. So those seem like some pretty significant science fiction elements, Kobe.
Okay, I will agree that it has science fiction parts in it. But the movies themselves are not science fiction.
Also, that movie actually had space shuttles and laser battles.
Oh, no, space shuttles. Oh, I've never seen those before.
We don't have space shuttles with lasers.
Yes, we do. Come on.
You've been to Area 51. I forget sometimes.
Twice.
But in Kobe's defense, Daniel, and I think I'll take both your sides in this, we're just specifically picking out one James Bond movie. But is James Bond as a whole, is he sci-fi or spy-fi?
Also... We need to find out when was that movie made?
Moonraker?
When did it come out?
Oh, that's easy to find out.
Yeah, I could find that out in just a mere seconds.
79.
Oh, okay.
79, huh?
Yep.
There's a lot of weird things going on in the world.
2 years after Star Wars.
79.
Wait.
You just took what I was going to say.
Kobe.
Star Wars.
Kobe. You were born in what year?
88.
Let's flash back. Talk about 79. What do you know from 79?
No, you just said what I was going to say. Star Wars had just come out not too long before that. And so you don't think that they're playing off that a little bit? Of course they were. Every movie around that time did. Because it was the biggest hit.
Black Hole, Battlestar Galactica.
Fair point. Yeah. Totally fair point.
I mean, it would have been an easy tie-in. Hey, hey guys, it looks like these lasers are really popular right now. Let's make a James Bond movie with lasers.
Seriously, every movie did.
Do you think that Q, the character Q, is everything he does basically the sci-fi part of James Bond, and then James Bond is kind of his own thing with the spy?
Well, but it's a tough call because, I mean, if you look at some of the early Q references, like the Connery years, I mean, a lot of the Connery year stuff is, you know, I've hidden this bomb inside this, and I've hidden the bomb inside that. And you can go to the UK's public record office, and they actually have, like, designs of, like, chocolate bars that have got bombs in them. I mean, it was stuff that they were making.
Did you know that when I went to D.C. this last summer, I actually went to the Spy Museum, the International Spy Museum? It was sweet. And I saw some of the same stuff that we would consider, like, almost sci-fi-ish advanced technology, but it's right there, and it's old. It's from, like, the 50s, 60s.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, I mean, this is a franchise that's 50 years old. So a lot of these things, I mean, at one time, probably were science fiction-y. Mm-hmm. But really aren't so much now. I mean, we've seen demonstrations like on TV of like cars driving themselves, and I think there's a Bond movie where the car moves itself.
Well, we have airplanes that drive themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's not that science fiction. The government has so much technology that we don't even know about yet.
And see, my biggest problem is, okay, so we picked on one movie specifically with Moonraker. Yeah. But the thing is we also just came out of Skyfall.
Yeah.
And without spoiling anything yet, there's nothing sci-fi about Skyfall.
Yeah, in fact, they kind of made fun of, and again, this is not a spoiler, but there was one throwaway line where they made fun of the fact that, you know, usually there's these crazy gadgets, and now they're just sticking with the basics. Yeah.
I mean, it's very much more on the sense of like a Bourne movie almost.
It's very realistic. Yeah. It could happen.
So, where things are going right now with like Dark Knight Rises, they're trying to make it more real, more gritty. Iron Man is probably the most popular Marvel movie because it's more grounded in reality. James Bond, starting with Casino Royale, they took a different direction with him, tried to make it a little bit more serious, more Bourne-ish, like you were just saying, Kobe. So this is just a question I was thinking about this morning and want to ask you guys about this. Do you think that the use of gadgets and kind of like the crazy gadgets actually makes for a worse James Bond movie? And so then as a follow-up, is the fact that they are cutting back and sticking with more basic technology, does that make the story better because it's more grounded for us?
I feel like if you put too much in there, then yes, it's going to be cheesy. But they had certain little things in this movie and in movies previous that have, you know, if they just put a couple of them in there, then you're like, oh, that's really cool.
Okay, so
it stands out.
I'm going to jump on my high horse here.
Of course.
Oh, I love it when you're on your high horse.
So 2002, we were offered Die Another Day. As approximately, Kobe at the time was about 3 years old, so he probably doesn't
remember. That's really funny.
He doesn't really remember it. But Die Another Day is the last Pierce Brosnan movie.
I love Pierce.
It's got Halle Berry in it. I think there's a lot of excitement about it, and it's my least favorite of all the Pierce Brosnan because I think they went too sci-fi in it. Because it's the one with the stealth car. That's moving through an ice castle.
So awesome, though.
But I mean, that car, I kept looking at it. I was like, oh, this is, it's not practical effects. It's not something, it's not really real worldish. And in many ways, it took me out of it to see that car. That car drove itself. Now, okay, I can buy that because he was using a remote control. But I just kind of felt like Die Another Day went too techie, too sci-fi heavy. And of course, what's the next one that comes out? Casino Royale.
Interesting. Yeah. And just as a side note, not about our conversation necessarily, but the character Jinx, that was Halle Berry's character, she was so popular that initially the studio was going to give her her own James Bond like franchise. Did you know that?
And then did they realize that would have been a horrible, horrible mistake?
Terrible idea. Or
did Catwoman happen?
I don't know. Maybe it was Catwoman, but I think Pierce Brosnan. Man. I could be wrong about this, but I thought he was going to do one more James Bond movie, but then they ended up cutting it and deciding to do a whole new direction.
Yeah, I believe that was true.
Okay, so some of the more popular James Bond movies have been the ones, I guess what people would think are the best have been the ones that are mostly low-tech. So here's a list of some of the ones that are typically enjoyed by people, and they also have low-tech. So From Russia with Love. On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Wait. I am disputing the list.
License to
Where
kill.
Are you even getting this list?
And Casino Royale from my head.
Wikipedia,
from
apparently.
My notes right here.
Okay, because are you telling me that people like On Her Majesty's... who? I think there's like 10% of the population that's even seen on Her Majesty's Secret Service. Can you, without looking at Wikipedia, do you even know who it is?
Yep, it was his only James Bond film, actually, this guy. And his name is... I can't remember.
His name's George Lazenby.
I'm saying that...
Do you know what significant character point happens to James Bond in her Majesty's Secret Service?
I'm not saying that they're necessarily the most viewed. I'm saying that they're maybe the best quality of the movies. Like Casino Royale, you can't go wrong with that. License to Kill.
I still don't know who's evaluating these movies.
You know, just general public.
Because did I hear GoldenEye on there?
No.
Because how can you just... I mean, GoldenEye is definitely the best of the Brosnan movies.
Oh, for sure.
I left off all Brosnan movies.
Why?
Because they were horrible.
You're horrible.
He was the worst... No, he wasn't the worst James Bond. He was
not the worst.
Did I hear the man with the golden gun on that list?
No, you didn't. That was just a small sampling. Not a complete...
No, did you make this list up?
He did.
I have it here in my Word
because
file.
It's the worst That's list Wikipedia. Ever. Worst list ever. And I'm looking at Wikipedia too, and there's no ranking.
No, they're not ranked by any like.
So you just randomly picked movies out.
I randomly picked low tech movies.
Including ones you know nothing about.
Low tech ones.
Okay, so give me that list again.
From Russia with Love.
From Russia with Love. Okay, go on.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Her Majesty, yeah.
License to Kill.
Yeah. License to Kill. Wait. License to Kill. Now let me see here. License to Kill, Timothy Dalton.
Dalton.
Well, let's see. So that's a later movie. Now, here's the funny thing about License to Kill. I think fewer people may have seen it than saw on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I'm pretty sure in the Dalton era, there was lots of techie stuff.
Well, there was. I mean, in this one, they do have, like, toothpaste that blows up, and they have a camera gun. But it's, like, compared to, like, what used to, like, a stealth car, it's nothing serious. No. Wow, you're shaking your head
you're
in dismay.
You're exhausting me.
You're shaking your head in dismay.
I think you've never made me frustrated before.
They also had an exploding alarm clock, so I guess in your...
Okay, that's realistic. That can happen.
Yeah, I guess...
Who doesn't have an exploding alarm clock? How do you think I get up every morning?
So, well, who would you say, or which movie is your favorite of all the James Bond movies? Number one.
Number one wow. all time. Whew, that's a tough list. I have always been a big fan of The Spy Who Loved Me.
Very nice. Colby, you're probably going to say one with Pierce. Go ahead.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't watched a lot of the older James Bond movies.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say GoldenEye just because I loved Pierce Brosnan.
It's a great movie.
It really is.
You can't go wrong with
Matt,
GoldenEye.
Watch it.
I don't like it. But there are a lot of old ones on Netflix.
Because
right now.
You don't like Sean Bean, man? Sean Bean's in that movie. How can nobody messes with Pierce Sean Brosnan. Bean?
I would recommend you go check out Netflix because they have a bunch of the old ones right now. My favorite one, Casino Royale, hands down. That one is.
Why?
It's amazing.
That's you why. Think Daniel Craig is the best?
No, Sean Connery is the best.
Sean Connery's the best.
But
yeah, Sean Connery's the best.
But Daniel Craig is the second best.
Really?
Who wants to dispute me?
Yeah. I'm willing to say he's at least
he's third
or fourth.
Who would be second in your mind, Daniel?
I again, GoldenEye is a fantastic offering. And if
you
I
think
it,
Pierce Brosnan
my problem
is the second best
if I could just evaluate James Bond based on one movie, if I could just pick one movie, I would say GoldenEye makes Brosnan my second favorite.
Ditto.
All right, I guess.
But because I can't, I'm going to throw up Roger Moore as my second favorite because he's
a lot
the
of
Bond
people liked him.
I grew up with.
Okay. Well, for nostalgic reasons, I like that, but he's like the cheesiest of all Bonds.
He's maybe at the end with movies like Octopussy, you can say that. But when you begin his beginning years, things like Live and Let Die, that's a fantastic and very serious movie.
Which one was the one that opens with that downhill snow skiing shooting? No, okay, you're shaking your head. You don't know. I can't remember. That one was a mess.
I'm not an encyclopedia, man.
Sorry.
Oh no, I know which. I think what you're talking about. Oh, don't you do it, man? Don't you do it? Are you talking about For Your Eyes Only?
A View to Kill, maybe. I don't know.
You're just searching around on.
I'm just worried.
I'm trying to remind myself. Yes,
I'm worried that he's making fun of my favorite because I think that may be my first that I ever saw in the movie theater, For Your Eyes Only. Colby wasn't even a glimmer in his parents' eye at that point.
Did you just call me Colby?
Colby, come on, man. Colby. I'm emotional right now.
Colby
you just
is my
said
favorite.
Your Minnesota accent.
The first one I ever saw
so emotional.
In the movie theaters was The World Is Not Enough in 1999.
I saw Dr. No.
In the theaters? I don't think so.
In 1962?
Dude, I was in heaven then.
That's not true.
That I don't even want to talk about that.
Okay. So I mean, the question that we opened the show with, or the, I guess the statement is, why James Bond is sci-fi? Have we sufficiently proven that point, that James Bond can be considered sci-fi?
I think, No. Okay. No, just Kobe, like Spielberg, no.
Kobe, I want to throw something at you. I want to change.
Ouch!
So we're definitely genre fiction, what we cover here.
Yes.
And we have definitely included superheroes in what we cover.
Yes.
How do we make a difference between James Bond and Batman other than guns?
Okay. Remember, my stance has always been, you're preaching to a terrible person for this. Batman is not a superhero.
No, we're not talking about superheroes. So
no, but that was.
But Batman was is part point. Of the superhero genre,
which
you will not argue with.
I won't.
Which is part of what
there.
We cover. You were on the episode in which we talked about the last movie, for heaven's sakes.
Sadly enough.
Okay, so.
So how did we make a difference between James Bond and Batman other than guns and cowls?
I'm not saying we do. But I'm just saying that there's too many James Bond films that do and don't have science fiction stuff in there. So you can't ultimately say it's one or the other.
Well, so Batman does and doesn't have sci-fi in it.
A lot of it is.
Yeah, but if you look at the early Batman comics, which I fortunately have read.
That's nice.
And which are terribly boring in many ways.
Silver Age?
Not surprised.
Oh, yeah, original. Yeah, if you go through like the, is it Batman Chronicles? I've read like the first four or five volumes of that. That's all real world. I mean...
I love what you're saying right now. So is James Bond sort of like a Batman character? I mean, Batman's more detective-y, whereas James Bond is more assassin. But
he definitely has to unravel cases.
Yeah, but I mean, that's true. Yeah, but when it comes to gadgets, they both use gadgets. They both don't have actual superpowers. They just have to rely on their technology.
There's both 30 different 007s and Batmans.
They do both have sort of secret identities, although it looks like James Bond's real name is James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, they're kind of, yeah, they do have some similarities.
One likes the ladies, one likes to hang out with a teenage ward.
That is an interesting distinction.
Oh, yes.
It's a terrible distinction.
So, Daniel, we once asked the question on this show, is Batman morally justified in his actions? So I want to ask you now, is James Bond morally justified in his actions?
See, I am so conflicted.
I say yes.
Well, but he's definitely not following the path of Jesus. He's definitely not...
How do you know he's not a Christian?
I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying he's definitely not, you know, turning the other cheek for a slap from the other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's his job. What are you going to say to a soldier?
He could have chosen a different job.
It's not necessarily his job to sleep with every woman he likes.
Okay.
I don't think Jesus
would do that. But he is serving his country as a soldier, as you say. And it never seems that he doesn't, even though he's an assassin, he never seems to kill anyone, and please don't take this wrong when I say it, who didn't deserve it.
I agree.
Someone who's a threat to others in a
massive way. He's always trying to stop the bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't ever see him just aimlessly shooting up places.
Though that would be cool.
So, are you trying to say...
I mean, no.
But he's an assassin. He's not a detective. He's not trying to stop... Okay, no, wait.
But he stops threats to innocents.
He's not just a crime fighter, though. He seems worse than Batman to me.
But it's not like he's out on a personal vendetta. He is protecting the people in the shadows, as we've heard M say in the last movie.
On the flip
times.
Side, Batman is doing some things out of a vendetta in a way.
Big time.
Yeah, and
that was his whole backstory.
Well, and that's an interesting contrast there, because Batman's definitely doing it to fill this hole of revenge, and he's going back to his parents, and as we find out in Skyfall, you know, and what we knew. Bond's an orphan too.
Yeah.
But it's not like you ever feel like he's trying to...
He's not trying to avenge his parents' death.
Yeah, he's not going around trying to solve crimes to fix what happened. He may be filling a hole psychologically, but it's not the same hole.
Agreed.
Interesting. So is James Bond actually more morally justified than
Batman? He might be.
I think so, because Batman, it's all about your intentions. Well,
and James Bond is actually sanctioned by his government.
I was going to say,
Batman...
He has accountability. Yeah, Batman has zero accountability. Zero.
Oh my gosh.
Where James Bond does.
Told you.
This is crazy.
And I mean, we've seen in several movies, he has to be cleared for service. He has to pass tests. He has to show loyalty. Yeah.
This is pretty interesting. So maybe James Bond is... Okay, so he's not... I think it's safe to say he doesn't have a saving faith in Jesus, though, right? His sexual liaisons would say otherwise.
Dude.
That's not for the job, Kobe.
I'm just saying, you can't ever tell.
It wasn't for the job.
Sleeping around is not necessarily for the job.
I think it is for him. I think it's a tool for him.
Not always, though.
I think a lot of times it is a tool. Sometimes what he's doing is he's filling a hole that, he might have been able to fill with God.
That's obviously why he might be an alcoholic as well.
But, I mean, we've, you know...
He's got some sort of emptiness inside of him, and he looks to like these types of, like alcohol and sex to
I can see how you can look at that behavior and say, oh, he must not be saved because he's not pure.
But you can't
truly see what's going on in that heart there.
Okay, that's fair.
That's why I've tried to stay away from ever saying whether somebody is a Christian or
even
not.
Even fictional characters. I think that's very fair. Good job, guys. Way to stop me from my judgmental ways. Christians are the worst.
A lot of times, yes, they can be.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, this has been pretty interesting. We're going to go to the spoilers just a second, but let's just talk about this Q division. This is like basically... So there's a whole... We know that there is a person who's often called Q, but we've also heard in some of the movies before that there's actually a division of MI6 that is the Q division. So that's like the scientific part. And
he's the quartermaster, hence Q.
I've never really heard that term before. Can you tell me more about that?
It's a military term. He's the supply guy.
Yep. Okay.
So it's all about science, so I think we should probably start with this.
Take that, science!
So, what's your favorite Q invention or Q gadget in any movie ever? I'll start with Daniel, so give Kobe a second to think through the three movies he's seen.
Shut up! I've seen like four.
See, now I always loved the car as a submarine.
Okay, yeah.
And I actually had a die cast of that as a kid, and it was fantastic.
Kobe, you're up.
Matt, you go ahead.
You're Googling it, aren't you?
Well, I want to make sure I'm right.
Well, make sure you're right about what? About your opinion?
No, because, okay, I'm just going to use the one that Daniel already said, but I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Not the invisible car, but I guess you could call it the invisible car. That was pretty cool.
Okay, so ever since as a child, I've always been attracted when it comes to spy devices to watches that did funny things, like watches that were explosive or watches that you could shoot lasers out of or watches that were also, I think Dick Tracy had one that was like...
it's like a video phone.
Yeah, a video phone, exactly. Yeah, so anything with
watches... How does a beat cop get a video phone on his wrist?
Who knows?
So... my favorite James Bond gadgets are the watches that are awesome, but that's more of a nostalgic thing.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to get spoiler.
I was
kind of disappointed with Skyfall. We're almost there.
Just wait.
They actually did do it in Skyfall, a close up on a watch, but it almost felt like a product placement.
I was gonna say that the watch. And does anybody else here want a Heineken?
Yeah, because they're drinking a lot in this movie. Okay.
Seriously, there's so much
product placement. Let's make sure to show the label, everyone.
There's so much product placement in this movie, it's ridiculous.
Would you like a diet? Could I get you a Diet Coke, Kobe?
Let's transition.
I can go over to the fridge.
So that's all about why James Bond is sci-fi. I think we've proven that at least some aspects of James Bond are sci-fi, which makes it good that we are covering it here on the Sci-Fi Christian. So let's now transition to full spoilers for Skyfall. If you haven't seen it yet, stop now. Come back later, but while I have you here, don't forget
you definitely need to turn this off if you have not seen it.
Warning!
But wait, before you shut it off, want to remind you to vote for us at the Podcast Awards, podcastawards.com. We're under Religion Inspiration. Also, listen to our last episode or just listen to me now. We have the end of the year Listener Appreciation Jubilee coming up, and we need your recommendations, your nominations for your favorite moments from this past year, favorite episodes. So, for more details on that, you can listen to our last episode, episode 91. So, here we go. Spoilers. Skyfall. We just got back. I want to hear from Kobe first, because he saw it twice. Kobe, you saw it last night, you saw it today. What do you think? Give it a 1 to 5 rating.
1 to 5, huh? I'm going to say a 4.
Daniel.
4.25.
Matt Anderson gives it a 3.5, but still really liked it.
What the?
Dude, you talked about how much you liked it.
I did like it, but I was thinking through my rating system.
Would you buy it?
No, but I don't buy a lot of movies anymore. But let me just say this. Avengers, I give a 5. Dark Knight Rises, I give a 4.5. So I could give this maybe a 4, but more 3.5. Yeah. But this, but the villain is one of my favorite villains in any movie I've seen recently.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I'm sorry. I spent the money to go see the Star Wars, the Clone Wars movie that they rushed to, into the studio.
That's too bad.
And I've already seen Zero the Hutt. So I was good. I mean,
dude, you didn't like that character?
I almost felt like it was overacted, overplayed.
I like the Hulk.
That's the point of his character. He's very dramatic.
Are you trying to say he was a little gay?
He was.
I think he was bi.
Okay, yep. He was bi.
That may be a first on this show.
But I thought he was an awesome character.
He was an okay character.
His motivation was, you know, obvious. He had a goal that he actually achieved. So, yeah, a good villain.
Really. I think the villain actually won in this movie.
I disagree.
Well,
the goal?
Because if I'm going to compare him to villains, okay, just this year we saw Bane. And in many ways, I felt for Bane. I could see where Bane was coming from and Bane's motivation and felt like there was something there. I mean, even Loki, I somewhat understand.
What?
This guy's just out for revenge and is kind of a, to use the British term, prick to begin with.
Did he not do what he said he was going to do?
See mommy?
No, he wanted to kill M and he did.
And look what happened. Who died?
Good point. Thank goodness we put the alert up.
Yeah. We get plenty of warning.
Plenty of warning. Seriously. Yeah. He did his job. That's all. He never said he was going to try and kill Bond. He never said he was going to try and take over anything. He just said he wanted exact revenge.
And that is one thing about this movie. This is a very, very personal James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Probably the most.
This is not the world is not enough in the sense of we're going to use these weapons or ruin the economy. This isn't... we're going to Moonraker with the whole, we're going to kill all life on Earth. This is a very, very personal. It's about MI6, the relationships within MI6.
And I think that they kind of showed how personal it actually was when the villain was first introduced. Because he was talking about how he could do whatever he wanted. He even showed James Bond, I can take over the economy right now.
Yeah.
Well, I could take over Uganda if I wanted to. Well, I don't even care.
And I did. And I did at one point when he was in custody in the Loki cage. I did look over at Matt and I whispered, he's just where he wants to be.
Yeah, because it was all part of his magic.
For sure. Just like Loki.
Yep. I did see that too.
And the Loki cage? Come on.
You think it was exactly the same?
That was super funny. Except for that cage was meant for the Hulk, by the way.
Yeah, but...
Okay, so...
It's like, I've seen that cage before. It was just, you know, over the ocean.
They called the movie Skyfall, which we find out is like the land that his parents owned. Kind of like Wayne Manor, Skyfall. Okay, yeah. So that's what the movie's called. So
weird name, by the way.
So that was kind of the central... It wasn't really a central focus of the movie. It was the third act, but I don't know... Did you think that was a good name for the whole movie, Daniel?
Yeah, because... Oh. Daniel, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the name, it's catchy. It's going to be easy to market.
Yeah, but does that actually have anything to do with the
movie? Okay, so let's look at some of these James Bond movie titles from the past. And you tell me what the movie's about, okay?
Okay.
Octopussy.
I don't know.
I can't even
remember. The Living Daylights.
Don't know.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
A View to a Kill. It's not about a really nice view of the beach.
Okay.
Not at all.
Die Another Day.
Die Another Day. I mean, these are not titles.
The World is Not Enough.
GoldenEye?
But GoldenEye has it. It's one that links to a real key plot.
Dr. No.
A little bit, yeah.
Dr. No.
Well, but Dr. No.
It's a character.
It's a character, that one.
I mean, what does You Only Live Twice tell you? No, well, actually, You Only Live Twice. It does tell you a little bit about the movies going on. Diamonds Are Forever. It tells you what's going on. But Live and Let Die?
Live and Let Die, that's...
Tomorrow Never Dies. I kind of like their ambiguous titles, but...
So, I felt like this was good for this movie, to be honest.
Yeah, I was okay with it. It's a catchy... It's an interesting wordplay. It does get brought up earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they just dropped it in the middle of the third act.
Why do you think that that was the place he chose to go hide her?
Well, he said it's a place he knows.
No one else knows where that is.
But yeah. He left clues so the bad guys could find him there.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
So why did he think that was going to be the best place to hide?
He was picking his ground. He knew he wasn't going to... Silver's not going to chase him if he knows that he's going to have, you know, SAS guys with him. I mean, he needed a place that would be logical for him to go to by himself where others may not necessarily know about it. He's talked to Silver. Silver probably knows quite a bit of his past, so it would make sense to Silver that, oh, okay, if he's going to go there, he's going to go home. Mm-hmm.
Did you get a Dark Knight Rises vibe from this movie?
Yeah.
Super personal, like big war at the end.
Yep.
Like it was not like most James Bond movies. It was a different beast, just like this Batman movie was a different.
Well, and it's Batman. And I mean, it's not him versus an entire henchman army. I mean, there's what, like 30 guys who come and get him?
Not even 20 guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're in a submarine.
I kind of expected them to pull up on a tank, to be honest. Like I was picturing Dark Knight Rises. James Bond cries at the end. Have we ever seen James Bond cry before?
Did he cry?
Yeah, he was like bawling on her death.
I don't know if he might be crying at the end of In Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh.
He might be.
You got me.
If you understood a key character point.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, what do you think about the new Q, whose name is Ben Kingshaw, I think?
Can we have John Cleese?
You like John Cleese better? He's too comedic. I think he's too comedic for this new Bond.
Well,
this kid was awesome.
He's all right. He's just a guy.
All right? What?
He's just a guy.
I agree.
You know, but here's the thing.
Let me disagree with Kobe. He is awesome, Kobe.
Yeah, thank you.
But here's where I'll give him credit. What we haven't had since the end of the Moore years is a consistent M, Q, and Moneypenny setup.
We've had M forever.
Wait.
But,
We've had this M
forever. But the Q hasn't been the same. When's the last time we saw Moneypenny?
Okay, I'm going to be totally honest. Seriously. Wait. I'm just going to be totally honest. I don't know the character Moneypenny. Don't be so mad. Just put your headphones back on. We need to be able to talk about this. So tell me, Daniel, sit back down and tell me who Moneypenny is.
He actually threw his headphones and walked away.
Come back to him.
Well, Matthew.
Yeah.
Anyone who's seen any James Bond movies from, I don't know, the Connery era, the Lazenberry one, Moore, Dalton, might recognize that Moneypenny is the secretary or administrative assistant, you may say, of M. And that there is always a scene in which Bond has a...
relationship.
Not a liaison, a discussion in which hints at adult behavior in which he is constantly shot down.
So it seems like these two actually do like each other.
And she should. Moneypenny and him always do have chemistry.
You have to. It's part of the character.
Yeah.
So she's appeared in... this girl's real name is not Moneypenny, is what you're saying. It's her code name.
No. I mean, they're establishing her as being Moneypenny, the same Moneypenny that we've seen in the other movies.
That has not been around for a while.
But the other Moneypennies are all white.
Yeah.
And she's black.
Dude. Yeah. So what?
So they can't be related. Well, technically, I guess they could
be. Why not?
Okay, they could be related, but...
Come on.
This may not be how the producers view it, but the way I view it is there's only one Moneypenny. Now, I believe there's three actresses now that have played Moneypenny, if I don't...
Nope, you're wrong.
There's count. A lot more than that.
There are four.
There's four?
Counting the new girl. But before...
But are we counting Never Say Never Again?
Sure. I don't know.
Yep.
So, okay.
So everybody's new in Never Say Never Again. Except for Connery. But in my mind, there is only one Moneypenny character... And has only been one Moneypenny character. Now, M's and Q's, they change because that's a code name.
Yes.
So you're saying Moneypenny is not a code name. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. She says her name is her last name is Moneypenny.
Why can't that be her code name? Because, okay. Before it got a little racially weird.
Okay,
let me just say this. Hold on.
Yes, Agent Matt Anderson.
I'm
using your code name.
I'm looking at Wikipedia. It's got the pictures up of all these past Moneypennies. It doesn't seem to be that they're trying to say these are all related. So my point with this new actress, whose name is Naomi Harris,
who was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
She was. She was the...
2 and 3.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
No, she's the...
She's the voodoo priestess lady. Yeah. I can't remember her name.
Anyway, so she's awesome. I didn't get the feeling...
She's the one that Davy Jones is all mad at.
Okay. I didn't get the feeling they were trying to tie her in with these past characters, like, in a, like, this is my daughter. It's like a code name. Unless you're saying this is a whole new James Bond universe.
Okay. I'm not going to go all crazy with James Bond universes. What I'm saying is, if you look at Casino Royale... What is Bond's position as an 07?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I don't understand.
He's brand new minted. He's new.
Oh, so the Casino Royale starts a new universe.
Well, you can argue that it's a reboot of it. You can argue. But what I'm willing to say is Casino Royale, which incidentally was the first book written, the first book title, is the beginning of that. And then I'm willing to stuff all the Connery and Moore and Brosnan stuff in between in the timeline, and then I'm willing to say okay, and then at the end we'll go ahead and put Skyfall.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying I'm willing to see it is only one money penny regardless of the color of their skin. I think they're playing the same character.
No, that's not true. Were they all Eve Moneypenny?
I don't know if we've ever heard the full name before.
I've never heard of Eve.
Okay, this is my
I think we're getting the origin story of Moneypenny.
I think I'm going to argue that this is a new universe, starting with Casino Royale in 2000.
Well, maybe this isn't sci-fi, Matt. Maybe this isn't, because maybe this isn't even...
2005, isn't it? Is it Royale 2005?
So,
back me up.
In conclusion, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall, those three movies are now a new James Bond universe from all of the other... I think all the
Well, can we talk about that then? If this is a new James Bond universe, then why isn't this movie about the quantum?
What do you mean?
Because at the end of Quantum of Solace, he had found out stuff about Quantum of Solace and had a quantum agent.
Yeah.
And he still wanted revenge on Quantum, and then Quantum is not at all mentioned in this movie.
He probably took care of it in between.
By the Blu-ray, you'll get the extras.
I've got Quantum of Solace playing right over there. Well, now it's on its menu screen, but we had that going in the background.
It's been on menu screen for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. So
and obviously you've watched it every time without the volume on.
Well, I've only watched it once, technically. Wait, everybody, Ryan Strelow.
Ryan! Woo!
Hey, Ryan, come here for a second. No. Real fast. What was your favorite James Bond movie of all time?
No!
That's a great answer.
He asked, who is James Bond?
Good answer. Right. Good answer.
Well, I think we got a little bit off track there with Moneypenny. Glad we could learn a little bit about her history. She was actually in the very first James Bond movie.
How's that off track?
No. Any other spoilers that you want to talk about? How much, like, what was your favorite scene in this movie, Kobe? You've seen it twice.
Ooh. Favorite scene? Wow, that's actually really
tough. I think Kobe really liked it when he was kidnapped on the island and they had their interrogation time.
You're just sick, man. I love it when I really do love it when villains have their monologues. Those are usually the best moments in the movie.
What do you think about the rat
one? That was really interesting, but it made a lot of sense. I mean, he really used it very well. It was a good story to tell. I liked it. That was one of my favorite scenes. Not my favorite. I don't have a favorite. It was one of my favorites.
Daniel, favorite scene?
Train going through the wall.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was pretty impressive.
Because I've ridden those trains. I've ridden on the underground. Been in the tube. I've been in Embankment Station a ton. And back in the day. And I never imagined that we could burst through a wall and crash into whatever room that was in the caverns underneath London.
You know, I'm going to be honest. Since this is a spoiler episode.
Yeah.
I wish more people would have died. Like, more important people.
What does that even mean? Oh, okay.
Like, they walk into a room with almost every single important people in the movie itself, and they don't kill any of them, except for... No, they didn't kill anybody.
No, they didn't kill anybody. What the heck? New Am gets shot, but...
But, yeah, and he's fine. No one died.
His arm's a little gimpy.
Nobody part of the core people was even involved, like, with the villain, which I think was a mistake. They could have easily done that.
Like, you mean, like, a double cross?
Yeah, why was not... Eve Moneypenny involved with the villain. That
well, awesome. I think they want you to have that tension, that worry. I mean, I was a little worried that Ralph Fiennes' character was going to Well, I kept waiting for him to be a member of Quantum, to be honest.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
Maybe he is.
You never know.
I don't think he is. I think he's the new M, and we'll learn to love and respect him as much as the old M.
Why? What does M stand for? I thought it was Mother. Because they call her Mother.
No. It's like a mom character.
It's the code designee for whoever's in charge of MI6.
Mom. Is Mum just like a sir? Is that like saying sir? Mum?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say Mum as much. Say Mom. You can clearly hear that. Oh.
And the thing is this is a story about moms and mothers and sons. Hmm. It really is a story about mothers and sons.
A little bit.
I don't think so.
Do you watch the end of the movie?
Did you hear the villain like 15 times? The villain that you love about 15 times call her Mom?
And the point that he just wanted to get her back because she betrayed him.
And pointed out to James that they're the last two rats left and that they're her boys.
They're the same character,
he said. But maybe it's just about parent issues in general.
Then who's the dad? That's just weird.
The new guy. Oh, it's like stepdad.
Mallory?
Right. Yeah, Mallory.
That's messed up.
See, I was actually kind of expecting that Kincaid and M were going to retire together in a new Skyfall.
You know, I was going to be honest because in that movie they were talking a lot about James Bond's death and how he got to get away. I thought M wasn't going to be dead.
I didn't think so.
I thought there was going to be an extra scene at the very end there that M's just sitting somewhere.
But she was gonna, I swore she's going to be with Kincaid because of his comment about how sometimes older things have their secrets.
Oh,
hey, that's a good call, Kobe. That would have been interesting for there to be a separate scene of just M. We didn't stay to the end. Do you think we should have
stayed to the
end?
And they never showed her...
But I think it is.
They showed her quote unquote die, but you know now. You never know. They showed Bond die.
Just in case you're curious, my favorite scene is the end battle, of course, because I like MacGyver type things where you find what you have and you just like turn it like plastic bags and shrapnel.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, when they turned the lights on, it just blew up everywhere.
That was so cool.
I like the booby trap underneath.
Maybe we should have booby trapped your front door before Ryan came in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
That would have been awful.
Yeah, like when they stepped down that board and it blew up, or even just James Bond using those huge propane tanks to blow up his whole house, and then the helicopter came down. Everything about that was cool.
I did like how the villain died at the end. I thought it was a good ending.
You're right. That was the second part of my favorite
part. Some days the old stuff works. But here's the thing, again.
No, but the villain's Silva, his...
Last.
His response, like getting stabbed in the back. he just made sounds and then fell over. It was great.
That's because he's like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, that was awesome.
This close how many times and you still beat me, but yet in the end he wins.
Daniel, go.
Well, I really do. This is a bookend with Casino Royale, because to look at how much time the word old is thrown in there. Old dog, old ways, old man. I mean...
I just thought of this. You said in Casino Royale that he was minted as a new agent.
Yeah, he makes his last kill that he's needed in order to become a 00.
Yeah, you're right. And now it's like they're talking about like he's been in it forever. It's kind of like they're trying to forget that happened in Casino Royale.
No, I don't think they are.
So you're saying years have gone by between...
Yes, I think they're saying time has passed.
Tons of time has passed.
Like maybe he could have done
10, 20 years.
Live and Let Die in there somewhere between the two movies.
Oh, so you're saying... Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace happened, and then the Sean Connery movies, and now this is like the end of his story.
Just try to make this point like 7 minutes ago with Moneypenny?
I think that you didn't explain it very clearly back then. So you think that Moneypenny actually had children and they were all white?
Oh, come on!
That's amazing. Why would you think that?
You have so many issues.
There's one Moneypenny.
No, I don't think we can agree on this.
It's not about... If we've established anything with the James Bond franchise, it doesn't matter who the actor is playing the character.
Yes.
The character is the character.
Or else James Bond wouldn't have changed.
Yeah. We've had how many Bonds? For heaven's
like
sakes, you...
13,
and we look at Craig. It's not like he's the dark brunette that we've seen with other Bonds. We don't even have to look the same. There's even been discussions that of the next James Bond could be black.
That would be awesome.
It could be. It would be awesome. Because it's not... No, you got it.
I'm just
an
kidding.
English actor. But the thing is the it's the characters, not the actors.
Okay.
Great response, Matt.
You guys exhaust me.
I agreed with everything you said.
And when I say you guys, I mean Matt.
Thank you.
I think it is.
I have never been angry with Matt like this.
Oh, I don't know why you're so mad. It's just a little...
I think he's mad more at the stupidity rather than the person.
It's just a little talk about James Bond.
Yeah, just a little talk about James Bond with someone whose knowledge of James Bond is coming from a silenced version of Quantum of Solace on their TV and Wikipedia.
Can we be done with James Bond? This is getting ridiculous now.
So in conclusion, this was the 23rd James Bond movie. I would say it's probably my second favorite.
Wow.
Maybe.
And you gave it a 3.5. That means the rest of them sucked.
Kobe, it makes sense. No, because the only James Bond movies he's ever seen are Casino Royale, Quantum of Silence, and Skyfall.
That's true.
And let's be honest, if you're going to only pick from those three, your number one's either going to be Casino Royale or Skyfall.
So, yeah. No, I mean, I don't think that's an exactly fair assessment, but...
I think it's very fair!
What are you talking about?
I'm going to put on the outro music. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm a very frustrated butcher, Daniel Butcher.
And I'm Kobe Radcliffe.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians! Signing off. Also, if you want to leave us your feedback about James Bond or Skyfall, call us at 612-4121-SFC, or you can email us at feedback@thescifichristian.com. Well, so long, folks.